And I want to read you something. And after you find Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to hold your finger there and turn to Matthew 14. And I'm going to put these together, Proverbs 3 and Matthew 14. And I'm going to try to use this. I may move around a little bit. Josiah, they say Josiah was golfing yesterday, and he didn't learn how to beat his daddy, so his daddy won't take nobody else with him because he's ashamed. Not true. He probably gets his hair in his eyes and can't beat you. Amen. Matthew, listen. Proverbs 3. Everybody get your Bible, turn to Proverbs 3. And then I want you to turn to Matthew 14. But I'm going to start out with a verse I'm not going to tell you to turn to. And I want to read you this verse in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord.
Yes.
Safety is of the Lord. Now, let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, if you will, and we'll start with verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be, look at this, it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Oh my goodness. Happy. You know what? Now turn to 14, Matthew 14. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you, this is an inspired by God himself letter written to his son. He said, my son, think about these things, my son. You want a good life? Think about these things, he said. These are the basics of life. If you want health, and you want happiness, and you want success, and you want friendship, and you want family, and in the end, you want salvation, these are the things you need to think about. Now, the day that we live in, no one wants to think about it. We have sanitized death. We've closed the cemetery. We don't even bury people anymore. Put them in a little jar and set them up on the mantle. We've sanitized death. We've kind of rearranged the hospital where it looks not like a hospital. You remember when we was growing up, us old folks, you go to the hospital, and did you ever notice that the hospital and the jail were furnished exactly alike? Some of y'all never been in jail. You didn't notice that. But those of us who had to were fortunate enough to visit a jail. They were cold, hard places. No pictures on the wall. No pretty paint. No flowery wallpaper. Just old, rough, hard, dull walls and floors and ceilings. And in a room in a hospital, you had a bed and you had a little table, and you might have had a bathroom, and cold, hard. And the nurses, they looked more like drill sergeants than they did nurses. And they were mean as the drill sergeant too, buddy. And kids wasn't allowed to go. Kids wasn't allowed to visit the hospital when we was growing up. They snuck me up the back stairs to see my mama when she had surgery when I was about 10 years old. And we wasn't allowed to go. And did you notice that they looked so much alike? The hospital and the jail looked so much alike. But now they've prettied everything up and changed everything. And we've been led to believe that everything's going to be all right and everything. And don't worry about it. We're going to fix it. And we're going to take care of you. And we're going to do this. And we're going to do that. And we've forgotten that these people who's running the institutions of the world, other than the church, which is not an institution, it's an organism, we've forgotten that these people are lost and they're blind and they're deaf and dumb to the things of God. So we're looking to the wrong place for our help. We're looking to the wrong place for our safety. He says, my help, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the hills, the Lord of the high places. Look, we need to get back to trust in God. But if you turn to Matthew chapter 14, you'll see a perfect example of what I'm going to preach on today. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, this goes right along with this. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but let's just start with verse 27. And you know the story. There was a storm and Jesus wasn't in the boat. He had stayed in the mountain to pray. And the apostles were in the boat. And a storm came and they were afraid they were going to sink, you know. And then all of a sudden the Lord comes walking on the water. In the midst of the storm, he comes walking on the water. And when they see him, Peter cries out to him. And that's where we start, okay? So let's look at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now we could, we'll to make, put that on a piece of paper and in frame, put that in our hospital room, put that in your bedroom, put that in your kitchen. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou. Now, he wasn't sure that was the Lord or not. It was a storm, and the storm was raging, and the wind was blowing, the water was going, and the waves and everything else. He said, but Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Well, what if it hadn't been him? What if it hadn't been him? You ever thought about that? And he said, this is all he said, come. He didn't say, Peter, now come on, I've already checked the statisticians and the scientists and the physicians and the theological thought, and it's going to be good. You come on now, you can come. No, he just said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, the wind blowing those waves, I don't know if you've ever seen the ocean in a storm. That's an awful, intimidating thing. He was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried saying, Lord, save me. Now he had already asked him, could he come to him? And the Lord had already said, come. And he was already on his way. He got his eyes off the Lord and started looking at the wind. And he began to sink. Isn't that what we do? We forget he's the master of the wind. He's the master of the storm. And we forget this stuff. And we think, boy, I'm going to sink. And the Lord don't even know I'm dying down here. I got COVID-19. I got tested in a tent yesterday. And this lady with a face mask put my rammed this thing up my nose and hit the back of my eyeball and came out and said, you're positive. I said, yeah, I'm positive. It hurts. He said, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Now, he didn't say he didn't have faith. He didn't say, Peter, you're not a believer. You wasn't a saint. He said, O thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Why would you doubt Jesus Christ? Why would you do that? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Amen. Amen. Now, preacher, why do you put these two passages of scriptures together? This request that Peter made, now listen to me, I want you to listen real close. I don't even have an outline. This is just what the Lord's put on my heart. This request that Peter made involved risk. Risk. No one else asked. Have you ever thought about why they didn't ask? Because it involved risk. We hear a lot about risk. We risk getting this new bubonic plague virus. At least they tell us that. And we've only had 13 people die in York County in 6 months. They tell us a lot about risk, the virus. You know, my mama died at 99 and a half years old. And did you know, I think she was 90 or somewhere around there. She had never ridden on a boat because she had thought of the risk of riding in a boat. And she went to the beach with us. We used to have a family vacation. She went to the beach with us. And my mother-in-law went and my mother-in-law's sister went. And if anybody can talk you into doing anything, it's Aunt Brenda. Aunt Brenda can. So Aunt Brenda just, we had a pontoon boat. We were going to drive across, right across Merle's Inlet. We were staying there on Merle's Inlet on the ocean there on that side of it. And we had a dock. We were going to drive that boat over there. My brother-in-law was. And my mama said, we'd already made plans to go over to Merle's Inlet because it's nothing but fish camps. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you're from the South. Nothing but fish camps. And so we were going to go there and eat supper, and my son-in-law paid for it, so I was ready to go. I mean, you got these 15 people, and he's going to pay for all of it. Glory to God. Thank God, you know. But my mama said, no, I'm not riding on that boat. I ain't never rode a boat in my life. And Aunt Brenda, Grandma Thelma, my mother-in-law, they sat down and talked to her for a couple of days and talked her into riding that boat across Merle's Inlet, about a 10-minute ride across those weeds and water and everything, you know, and go over and eat and ride back. And they talked her into that. She'd never been on a boat because of the risk. Now, here was her risk. She'd never learned how to swim. My mom would take us to the river, and when I say river, y'all call it the lake. But growing up here, we called it the river. And my mom would take us, we'd go to the river, my mom wouldn't take us, she couldn't drive. But our brother or somebody would get us all in the car, and we'd end up down there at the river, Catawba River. Yeah, Bethel Boatland. And so my mama, the most I ever saw her go in was ankle deep. She'd wade out about ankle deep, and she wouldn't go. She said, I can't swim. Well, the reason she couldn't swim, she never wanted to take the risk of learning how to swim. People that don't know how to swim, it's not that they're stupid. It's not that they're deformed or something. They just don't want to take the risk of learning how to swim. And I see some of y'all wagging your head, no, I ain't never done that. And so she didn't want to get on a boat her whole life. Here she's 90-something years old. Never had the joy of riding on a boat across the water, you know. Never had the joy of swimming or anything like that because she didn't want to take the risk. Salvation's a risk. It's a risk, son. And by that I mean this. It's not, I might not be saved. It's just, if I'm going to be saved, I've got to take the risk that I'm going to lose every friend I have. I might lose my job. I might lose a position in society. I might lose family over it. It's a risk. Salvation is a risk. And the reason people don't get saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to save them, is because they're looking at the risk. I thought about this, my calling. The reason it took me a year to surrender to the call to the ministry is because I counted the cost. I counted the risk. I thought about, I'm going to have to change this. I've got to change that. I'm going to have to quit my job. I'm going to have to learn how to live by faith. I'm going to lose people who are Christians. They're going to think I'm crazy because I'd think the same thing if I told me I was going to preach. It's a risk. Any calling is a risk. I might fail. I thought, well, if I go into this thing, I'm no good. I couldn't even stand up in front of the school and give a book report. I was so shy. And so if I do this, I'm going to risk failing. I won't be any good at it. Y'all see what I'm talking about? Now, I wasn't going by the Proverbs of counting on the Lord to feed me, to clothe me, to take care of me, to heal me and do all these things. I didn't know that yet. So I was feeling the water. Accessing the risk. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
Living a Christian life after you get saved is a risk. Is my family going to understand this stuff? Is my family going to honor me as I try to live this way? Am I going to lose my wife? Many men have lost their wife because they got saved. Am I going to lose my husband? Many women have lost their husband because they were saved. Am I going to lose my children? Many men have lost their children because, and women too, because they accepted Christ. It changed their life in such a way they've lost their family. It's a risk. Should I join the choir? It's a risk. Am I going to be the Barney of the choir? And those that don't watch Andy Griffith, y'all remember that story, you know, and they kept having choir practice and the choir leader kept moving it to different houses and didn't tell Barney where they was having choir practice? Because somebody was flat. Y'all remember that? Somebody was off key and somebody was flat, and I'll never forget, Barney was the one in the middle back here, and he was in the middle and he was ruining everybody else because he couldn't sing a lick. And then he come out one day and during a break and he told the song leader, he said, listen, choir director. He said, I see what's going on here. Somebody's flat. He said, somebody's singing flat. He said, I'm going to help you find them. Join the choir is a risk. You may be Barney, you know. Teaching a Sunday school, that's a risk. Y'all still with me? When you witness to somebody, it's always a risk to share your faith. It's always a risk. And the atmosphere that we live in today is certainly a risk to publicly share your faith. That's a risk. There was 12 of them in that boat. Only one of them stepped out because one of them thought, I don't know if Peter even thought about risk. He was about like any teenage boy. Watch this. You know. There's 12 of them. Only one of them took the risk. The rest of them, they counted the cost and looked at the storm and looked at everything else and thought they knew the results, and they didn't. Y'all still with me? When I was a boy, again, we used to swim in the backwater of the Nitro Dam down there between Great Falls and Lancaster on the Catawba River. And the water, you can't see that deep because it's so muddy, you know, always back there. And there's these big old rocks, big rocks right there at the dam. You can go back behind the dam and see it. And some of them was 15, 20, and 20-something feet tall. And as teenagers, we just go down there and we say, watch this, and jump off. We got up on the dam, jumped off the dam. Those rails that run up there. We play chase on those rails and jump off. But we never thought of the risk. Until one boy jumped off, and you suppose when you break the water from that high, and I'm talking high, and you break the water, you suppose break the water, put your hands together like that to break the water, so your head won't hit the water, it'll be broken, and it won't break your neck. But he dove in like this. And he walked around school like this for about a week. He almost broke his neck. And then we counted the risk, but it was after the fact. And we quit jumping off the dam. There's a risk in everything. Listen, a lot of people are living a life with no risk. They have an unfulfilled life because they've never taken a risk. Y'all young people, listen to me. When you marry somebody, you take a risk. Half the marriages end in divorce, so you sit down and you think about, should I get married? Well, you need to think about that. But it's a risk with anybody. And by the way, you girls are so easily moved by a pretty smile and pretty eyes and a little skinny boy, you know. You don't know what people's going to turn out to be. You're taking a risk when you get married. Anybody. It's hard to live with anybody. It's hard to live with anybody. It is a risk. And you count the cost. Then you make a decision. I'm talking about Devin, too. Amen. Well, I figured that's what y'all were talking about, so I figured I'd jump in the middle of it. Amen. But listen to this. An unfulfilled life. My mama had partially unfulfilled life because she was scared of water. A lot of people never marry because they're afraid of getting married. Did you know when you have children, it's a risk? Amen. It's a risk to have children. Did you know that's why the birth rate in America is so low right now? And the abortion rate so high? It's a risk. Y'all still with me? Now, Proverbs, he said, son, let me tell you this. If you do this, God will take care of you. If you do this, God will feed you. If you do this, God will supply your needs. If you do this, God will keep you happy. If you do this, God will keep you healthy. But in every bit of that, there's a risk. When you travel, there's a risk. A lot of people have never ridden an airplane, not because they can't afford it, they're just afraid of it. I used to be like that, but then I had to go preach a long way, and it would have took me 25 hours to drive there, and it would have took me 2.5-3 hours to fly there. I said, well, I'll just take the risk. And one of those times was the week after or two, week or two after 9/11. And I got on an airplane that held 350 people, and there was 50 people on it. And one of them had a turban on. He was Hindu, he wasn't Muslim. And then they took me off that plane and put me on a smaller plane that held 50 people and there was 5 on it. Why? Because during that time people saw the risk and they didn't want to take the risk. But if you never fly on an airplane, you have the opportunity, you'll have an unfulfilled life because you'll never know the thrill of being above the clouds. Some people's never took a boat ride. You ought to take a boat ride. I'm going to say this now. Don't get excited, okay? I'm not going to go buy one. But there's a thrill riding a motorcycle. There is. There's a thrill riding a motorcycle. Why do you think all these people spend so much money on a motorcycle? There's a thrill, but there's a great risk. There's a great risk. Y'all still with me? Come on, help me. I'm talking about risk in life and in the Christian life too. A lot of people have an unfulfilled life because they never even learned how to ride a bike. My mama couldn't ride a bicycle. Wasn't because she was too poor to have one. She didn't want to risk getting hurt. You say these are simple things. It is simple things. But see, faith involves risk. A successful life, much less a successful Christian life, involves a lot of risk. Amen. If you don't listen to me, you'll do like a lot of these people that give it all up and have them living in government houses. They got them in a cement block cell over there. They call government housing with a steel door and steel windows on it. And they, excuse me, they never leave the house because they watch too much TV news and they think everywhere's like Chicago, everywhere's like Minneapolis, everywhere's like D.C., and it's not. But you won't take the risk to go out there and see for yourself. You'd rather let somebody manipulate you on TV news shows. Amen. A lot of people's out of church right now because there's a risk of getting a virus. There's always a risk of getting a virus. There are always viruses, and I know people have died, and 13, 14 people is not a happy thing, but there's a risk every day, everywhere you go, everything you do, there's a risk. So by faith, I live by faith, I count the cost, I look at the risk, I wash my hands. I stay clean. I stay away from sick people. I probably got the lowest immunity in this building. If a fly's got a cold, I can get it. If he's just in the room with me. Now you listen to me. Safety, he said. You remember the first verse I read? Safety is of the Lord. Charlie Burgess, friend of mine, first one to pay my way to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana in 1980-something. He's in heaven now. He owned Burgess Trucking Company. He had 13 trucking terminals he owned. And he owned 350 tractor-trailer trucks. Started out as old truck driver, lived in Gastonia, and God blessed him because he got saved and started tithing, and then he started doing above tithing. Anyway, long story, God blessed him. But Charlie had on the back of every trailer of Burgess Truck, and some of y'all might remember it, those trailers were hauled food and stuff in, and it said, safety is of the Lord. Amen. He wanted to get places quicker. He was 60-something years old, and he went and got his airplane license, pilot's license, 60-something years old, and bought one of those little airplanes, you know, a Cessna, hold four people, you know. And he said, this will help me to help churches more. He go to churches and buy them buses and building buildings and all kinds of stuff. And Charlie was hauling a load of gospel tracts somewhere to be delivered, and it crashed on I-85, Charlotte. It landed on, now, you're talking about risk. It landed on I-85, Sean. But they said when they found him, when the EMT people got there, he was sitting on one of the wings reading his Bible. And before it was over, he led two EMT people to Christ. Amen. Now, he took a risk and it paid off. Amen. If nothing else ever happened with his pilot's license, that was enough to pay the risk right there. Amen. Did you know when you travel, there's a risk? Did you know when you enjoy life, there's a risk? Every day of your life is a risk. Stop letting people put you in jail and let God feed you, clothe you, direct you, give you help, give you happiness, give you success. Now, I'm not talking about being the little idiot 14-year-old that jumped off those big rocks behind the dam. I'm not talking about that. And you think I was, because you're sitting here and got the picture in your head already. I can see it. I smell wood burning. I know you're thinking. Listen, I'm not talking about recklessness. I'm talking about risk. We count the cost, and then we do it. The storm's blowing. The boat's rocking. By the way, I don't want to be out on the lake in a storm. And the boat's rocking. It's a ship, not a boat. And and somebody's walking through the waves and through the storm and the lightning, and they all see it, and somebody said, it's the Lord. And Peter said, Lord, bid me come unto thee. And he said, come. He didn't say, Peter, I've done the figures. I've added up the math. I've compared charts. I've talked to statisticians and physicians and scientists and politicians. That right there messed it all up. And politicians and preachers and theologians. And I think it may be, you might can, you want, if you want to try, Peter, come on. No, he didn't say that. He said, come. There's a risk. If that wasn't the Lord, he was going down. He'd have died if it hadn't been the Lord. But he took the risk by faith. That's what that's called, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And he stepped out of the boat. He started walking. I can see him now. Because Peter was no greater believer than you are. But then somewhere along the line, somebody said something, or the lightning struck, or a wave come over the top of his head, and he went. And the Lord reached down there and lifted him up and put him back on his feet. Now, let me tell you something. God hadn't changed. Life is full of risk. The will of God is full of risk. Having a family is full of risk. Working a job is full of risk. Being a good Christian is full of risk. Being a good husband, a good wife, or a good son, or a good daughter. And remember, he said to honor your mother and your father. And being all these things have risk. Well, you don't know my daddy. No, I don't have to know your daddy. You can take the risk of doing what God says to get the right results. Amen. Well, preacher, I would get saved, but my girlfriend would leave me. Well, that's the risk you gotta take. But I'll tell you something else. She might not. She might get saved too. If you, she might have just been waiting for you to get out of the boat before she would.
Right.
There's always that one that they gotta do it first, Sister Mary. And when we see them do it, we say, well, they didn't sink. I'm going to try this too. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, sir.
Boy, you can take a family that's lost and going to hell, and there's a bunch of them, and they're wicked, and they're mean, and they're ungodly, and they're filthy and vile. And one of them will step out by faith and receive Jesus Christ. And before you know it, within weeks or months, the whole family has gotten saved by the grace of God. Because one of them thought they'd take the risk and step out by faith and receive Christ. I've been in churches where one young person will surrender to the will of God, and because they've taken the risk, others will jump out and say, I can do that too. I can do that too. Safety is of the Lord. You ever thought about this? Maybe you're living too safe on your own.
Right.
You know, a lot of these people call preppers. Preppers. Y'all know what a prepper is? Teenagers think that means they're preparing for college, but it doesn't. That's preppy. We used to know preppies, you know. But preppers are people that are preparing for the end of the world. Real Mormons are preppers. They're storing up food. They're storing up supplies and all this because the end of the world's coming. And if you pay attention to the news media and politics, you might start doing the same thing. But if you live by faith and say, look, the same God that saved me has kept me all these years, and he's kept me from riots, and he's kept me from sickness, and he's kept me from disease, and he's kept me from poverty, and he's held my family together, and just trust him by faith.
Yes, sir.
You know what he said it'll be? Health and wealth. Here's what me and my wife pray every day. Lord, give us health and Lord, give us wealth so we don't have to worry about these things and we can help other people. Because see, if you're all worried about health and wealth, you're not going to take the time to help anybody else with their health and wealth. Getting quiet on me. Now, anytime you mention money, it gets quiet. See, if God gives me health and wealth where I don't have to worry about my health and I don't have to worry about my wealth, God's going to take care of me, then I've got time to go take Sister Shirley a watermelon or Earnhardt's a cantaloupe or go see Sister Gwen pretty soon and I'll probably take her something sweet because she's a sweet lady, you know. And so that I didn't get to go to the hospital with Sister Shirley Barnes because they wouldn't let but one person in there. So I went over and visited her the day before and spent 2 hours on the front porch just letting her talk. And then talking about the Lord. And trying to give her some assurance that the same God that saved her can keep her. You see, if you'll start praying that way, that God will give you health and he'll give you wealth, and you quit worried about the risk, you can do something for God. But if you keep worrying about the risk, you're never going to do anything for God.
That's right.
You're never going to go to church. There's people that's gotten out of church over this virus stuff that will never be back in church. I'm afraid some of them might be right here, might be in this church. They will never be back in church because for the rest of their life, they're going to live in fear and they fear to take the risk to go back to church. That's sad. Wednesday nights, we're talking about spiritual battles and spiritual warfare. That's what it all comes down to. Did you know everything has a risk? And did you know if safety is of the Lord, and you'll trust Him to save you, to keep you, to present you faultless before His presence with great joy, and to supply all your needs from His riches in the glory, and to give you health and take care of you, if you'll trust Him, sometimes you'll take risks. And did you know if you take those risks, He'll reward you for that? The rest of them stayed in the boat scared to death. Peter stepped out, and it was a risk, and he almost drowned. And if he hadn't trusted the Lord, he would have drowned. But the Lord lifted him up. He said, now you took the risk, and you're sinking, but I'm not going to let you drown. And you take that risk, you step out by faith to get saved, and you say, well, I'm afraid I'll fail at what I'm doing. He said, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. See, the risk is not up to you. That's up to Him. And He said, I'll present you faultless. So I'm putting it all on Him. If I fail as a Christian, this is a risk. This Christian life's a risk. If I fail at it, I'm putting it on Jesus because He said it. And look here. If I die some terrible death because I'm trying to live right and I'm taking the risk to help other people and I'm taking the risk to obey Him, then I'm just going to blame it on the Lord. And I'm going to tell some of y'all, because you are afraid of risk, you said, well, I never flew an airplane because I'm afraid. Well, you're afraid of the risk, but I got on an airplane one time. First time I flew, I said this. The lady was making me a ticket, and she said, do you have a preference where you want to sit? That's back when they used to say that. Don't say that anymore. And I'm long-legged, so I always want to sit on the aisle so I can stretch my legs out. But I didn't say that. Here's what I said. Can you give me a seat in the back? She said, the back? Nobody wants to sit in the back. That's where the bathroom is. I said, yeah, but I ain't never heard of one of these things backing into nothing. Right. You see those pictures? It's always that tail end laying out there by itself with three or four seats in. That's where I wanted to be, in that seat. I took the risk. Let me ask you, what's hindering you today from being saved? You say, well, I thought about it, and I'm afraid if I get saved, my wife, my girlfriend, my husband, my boyfriend, or this or that. Let me ask you something. What is the result if you don't take the risk? Hell. And then you're already a Christian. I say, why don't you sell out to God? Give Him 100%. Just give it to Him. Say, Lord, if I die, it's going to be trusting You. You say, I'm afraid if I do that, I'm going to get around sick people. I'll get sick, or I'll get around crazy people and get hurt and all that stuff. By the way, I've knocked on the craziest people's doors in this town. Ain't none of them ever hurt me. And I'm afraid if I do that, I'm going to get hurt and all this stuff. Well, let me ask you the results if you don't. Somebody's going to die and go to hell. Maybe your own family member. Maybe your own children. Y'all still with me? This ain't too heavy on you, is it? It's so simple. Boy, just jumped out at me this week. What's the risk? What's the risk? What's the risk? What's the risk? Well, let me tell you something. The results of that risk is up to you. Nobody else stepped out, but Peter did. In the boat, and Jesus got in the boat with them. Yes, He did. But let me tell you something. None, only one of them had the joy of taking the risk and seeing the best results, which was Jesus Himself let him walk on the water with him. Preacher, I'm scared to go to church. I'm afraid to risk. Well, wear a mask, put some gloves on, go to church. Well, preacher, I would tithe, but I'm afraid I'm going to starve. Well, he just got through telling us, you tithe and he'll fill up your barns and take care of you. You know, a lot of these people got out of church and they watch us and all this stuff, and some of them do, a lot of them don't. They don't tithe anymore, and I wonder what's going to happen when you don't tithe. And you're not giving it to me, I'm talking about giving it to God. I don't spend your money. But, see, there's risk. Everywhere there's a risk. Ron takes that risk a lot of times. Sick as he is. All kind of problems in his life. And he takes that risk to try to obey God. Now, sometimes he can't, like they just can't. Missy. Simple little old Missy. Goes to church. Tries to, in that area, I don't know about her other areas. I don't know any of his other areas. But as far as church, tries to obey God and goes to church and will take the risk with all her health problems. There's people in this church that have limited income and they'll take the risk of tithing, giving 10% of that money to the Lord. Not knowing if they'll be able to pay their bills after that or not, but they take the risk. Some people in this church talk to people about Jesus everywhere they go, taking the risk that they're going to be embarrassed or have their feelings hurt, but they do it anyway. Now, if you're not saved today, let me tell you what the results of your risk is. You're going to die and go to hell. No man comes to the Father but by Him. If you don't come by Jesus, here's what He said you do. Turn your back on everything else and turn to Him. Repentance is one step. It's not a seven-step program. As I heard yesterday, read this thing, said it takes seven steps to get Jesus. It does not. Peter said, Lord, let me come to you. He said, come. That's all it takes. I hope you're saved today. If you're not, we're going to give you a few minutes of opportunity to take that risk and step out and come down here. We'll show you some scriptures and we'll lead you to Christ. And then He will take the other risk for you if you'll just surrender to Him. Let's stand. Father, thank you.